Warren Allen here with today's Talking Point. A lawsuit against private prisons has now been opened up to a class action that could involve some 60,000 undocumented workers. They have been detained by ICE at profit-making centers, where many say they've been punished unless they perform labor for $1 a day. Jackie Stevens is director of Northwestern University's Deportation Research Clinic, and it's good to have you on our program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this started out as a suit by 9 former detainees who wanted $5 million. Now it's been opened up to a class action that can include 60,000 plaintiffs and obviously a lot more money, partly because of your research. What got you started on this?
I first learned about the program in 2009 when I encountered someone who was actually a U.S. citizen who'd been held in ICE custody in a facility run by CCA in southern Georgia. His name is Mark Little, and when he returned, he was upset because CCA, he told me, owed him $32. And it turned out that he'd been earning $1 a day buffing floors for a midnight to 8 a.m. shift, as well as working in the kitchen. And some of the money hadn't been given to him. It remained in his commissary account.
What was a U.S. citizen doing in this place in the first place?
Well, that's a whole other story, but it goes to the problems of the lack of due process in deportation proceedings, and especially the lack of an assigned attorney. And, you know, he was profiled as somebody who was being who was an alien, and the government treated information consistent with him being deported as accurate and didn't properly credit his signed sworn testimony that he was a U.S. citizen who was born in North Carolina. He spoke no Spanish. He had no relatives in Mexico, and yet he was deported to Mexico. And when he returned to Atlanta a few months later, they tried to deport him again.
Wow. And in the meantime, he wanted his $32.
Exactly.
So how much do you think he's entitled to?
Well, the class of people are titled most likely, you know, in the lawsuit in Aurora to millions of dollars. The 60,000 people refers to the people by an estimate of the warden at that GEO facility who've been held there in the last 10 years.
So what kind of labor are we talking about? You mentioned buffing floors and working in the kitchen. Are there other things that they're required to do for that kind of pay?
Sure. Well, it depends on the facility and the programs, but in the lawsuit at hand, the people who were locked up were required to do everything from landscaping to, kitchen work, cleaning, deep intensive janitorial cleaning, barbering services, basically everything that keeps the facility running short of the guard duty.
So my understanding is the original suit was based on violations of the minimum wage, forced labor, and unjust enrichment. Are all those still part of the class action?
No. The judge has thrown out at this point the claim under the Colorado minimum wage law.
Okay.
The plaintiffs will be, appealing that later. But at this point, the two surviving counts are the unjust enrichment violations and the violations of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act prohibition against forced labor.
You said the original person you talked about, Mark Little, was in Georgia. How did this get to Colorado?
Well, the fact pattern for these kinds of cases are similar across institutions, and it just so happened that the lawyers who decided to file the action were based in Colorado and focused on the GEO facility. Honestly, this kind of lawsuit could be brought against any private prison in the country that houses people under immigration laws, because all of them rely on this kind of labor by the people who are in their custody, and none of it is exempt from the prohibitions against forced labor that the 13th Amendment puts in place.
There's been a big boom in the stocks of private prison companies since Donald Trump was elected. So how many of them are there, and are they in every state?
They're in. I actually don't know the exact number of the private prisons. I do know that 65% of people who are in immigration custody are in the custody of one of these private prisons.
And they apparently are making money on the prisoners. That's what unjust enrichment, I assume, would include.
That's correct.
So,
I mean, and all of the profits that they make above what they would have to pay people under the Service Contract Act are profits that a jury could decide is unjust enrichment.
So what has been the response of the prison, specific prisons that you've mentioned, and the prison industry in general?
Well, they're claiming that they're going to appeal this, and their claim is that because these people are in their custody and because they have the prisons, you know, have these contracts with ICE, and there's this program that allows people who are in ICE custody to work, that therefore they don't owe additional funds, and so this is a case that they're appealing to the Tenth Circuit.
You mentioned Mark Little. He was, in fact, a U.S. citizen who wanted his $32 from CCA. That's how he got into this. But what about those who are not citizens? How is it that they are entitled to be part of a class action?
Well, the labor laws, according to the judge who ruled in this case, apply to people regardless of their citizenship status. And so, you can't exploit people because they don't have legal documentation, and you can't exploit them and force them to work either through direct force or threat of punishment, even if they aren't citizens in this country. That's what the law says.
So how does it become forced labor? What are the consequences to these people if they choose not to mop the floors or not to work in the kitchen?
They're threatened with solitary confinement.
How often is that threat made good on?
In the facts of this particular case, it appears that they haven't proven that this has actually been affected. However, the law prohibits not only, using force to entice people to work, but just the threat of the use of force or the threat of confinement. And both of those are elements of this lawsuit that the judge found consistent across cases, and therefore he green-lighted the class action suit.
So if the class action goes ahead, what do you think it'll mean for the private prison industry?
It could have devastating implications. The profits that they make depend on this kind of unpaid or subminimum wages. And if they're not allowed to, if they're forced to pay people at the wages required by the Service Contracting Act, it takes the profit incentive out and would likely lead to these firms, desisting from lobbying for high rates of detention and take away a lot of the funds that go into lobbying Congress to deport people.
We have a new administration, but when you're talking about coerced labor and unjust enrichment in the way that you are, has ICE had anything to say about this, and has it had any political coverage?
Well, ICE is not part of the lawsuit, and so they haven't officially commented on it. The policy that's in place compensates the private prisons at $1 a day for the detainees who do work there. And but the policy doesn't state that that's a ceiling. And so the position of the plaintiffs is that that's the level at which the government is reimbursing the private firms, and it's the responsibility of the private firms to then make up the difference and pay prevailing wages.
Okay. So what's the timing on this? When might it get back to court?
No one knows. it depends on whether the appellate court decides that they'll hear the appeal before the class action lawsuit proceeds. And then if they do take that up, it's uncertain as to when they would actually make a ruling on that.
Jackie Stevens, director of the Northwestern University Deportation Research Clinic. Thanks so much for being on our program.
Thank you for covering this.